Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Just to put a ribbon on our previous discussion as we get into Dan Wiederer, our guy, White Sox season tickets are cheaper, too.
As a partial season ticket holder, I would know that.
There you go. And they got a rocket ship of a baseball team. Couple moves here or there, right managerial hire, and look out.
What else did Jerry Reinsdorf tell you this morning?
Let me see if Jerry texted.
I think he probably...
It's a little too early
did
for
he,
him.
Did he tell you that, did he send you that message?
No, he's still too early for him.
David, I just want you to know, we're a bargain basement with your cousin season ticket. How did the Cubs do today?
What else did Jerry say this
so
morning?
Great.
Jerry said anything else this morning?
No, he's not up yet.
Okay.
All right.
He didn't send you the message? Okay.
He did.
Oh.
He didn't.
Oh, it's all.
I said didn't.
Oh, just.
Didn't.
David, do not tell people I text you. Okay? Let me know. We're on the upswing, and we're going to hire Tony La Russa. And Brooks Boyer is going to have a heart attack.
We're hiring who, Jerry?
How do I market that?
Just put up old pictures from 83. No one will ever know the difference. The hair is still the same. Suspiciously dark hair. Okay.
Wow. All right, we're moving on to our one of our favorite guests, who actually has been just showing much more positivity in his life. His name is Dan Wiederer, and he joins us now. Daniel, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are doing very well. 5-1 football teams, a lot of fun to cover. We asked this question at the start of the show, so we're going to ask you. Matt Nagy said yesterday, look, I know we can be better, but I can't wait until our offense is better because we're going to get there. Do you believe they, as currently constructed, can get to the level Matt was intimating yesterday?
So here's the situation with that. It's a complicated question, as you both know.
Mm-hmm.
The question is where there is, right? And so if you're just trying to find your way into the top 20 in offense in the league, absolutely they can get there. If you're trying to find your way to around 17, 16, yeah, absolutely they can get there. And that's a very realistic and promising goal for this football team, because right now at 5-1, what's happened, guys, is you've bought yourself a lot of room to, you know, you got margin for error now. And you can play some average football over the next month and not be in danger of having your season slip away from you. And so what that does is it gives you a little bit more breathing room when you're working on these things behind closed doors to try to find that identity and not be in that desperation mode that the Bears were in for so much of October and November last year. And we all know how that went. The bottom fell out of the season and it was a disaster in Chicago. Well, now at 5-1, you've got those good vibrations in the building. You've got Nick Foles getting on the plane after that game in Charlotte, exuding this positivity and this, let's go, we can do this, that becomes contagious. And so there are elements here that if they can make good on their promises to make strides as an offense, boy, you can really start talking about this team being a factor in January, which is the ultimate goal, right? But right now, the counter argument to that is, where is the evidence that this offense is going to turn the corner? And to this point, we haven't seen enough of it. So it's a little bit of a conundrum. I do think they have the pieces there. I do think they have the coaches and players there. It's all about, can they put it together?
Dan, I ask you this question with a wink and a nod, just so you know.
Okay.
Third and two.
He did wink and he did nod.
Yeah, with a wink and a nod, I say this. Third and two, late in the fourth quarter, the pass goes to Robinson in out of his hands, knocked out, whatever it was, and so it goes incomplete. And when you guys asked Nagy about that play, he says, well, I wanted to be aggressive in that play. We wanted to be aggressive. So when is it that running the football on third and two became passive in the NFL? Your thoughts, sir.
Wink, nod. I mean, I'm with you, Hoodie, and this is the biggest problem coming out of Carolina is that you told us that your running game struggles the previous couple weeks were because the Colts and the Buccaneers had these stout fronts and that it was going to be a problem to run against them no matter who you were. Well, now you went up against a defense that I think entered the day 25th in the league in yards allowed and 31st in the league in yards per play allowed on the ground. They also played a lot of two deep safeties, not stacking the box and trying to take away some downfield passing, and you still couldn't establish your running game. And so when Matt told us last week, boy, we really hope that we can get in the game where we're not playing from behind so we can establish the running game, guess what? You got that. You didn't trail at all in Carolina. You had a two-score lead for chunks of the second half. You still couldn't stay wedded to the run. You still couldn't get anything done on the ground. And so that, I think, is the thing that has a lot of people in Chicago going, whoa, boy, we're in some big trouble. If our offensive line is this bad, if our coach is so quick to sort of give up on the running game, where are we going? Because, look, teams have a blueprint. You want to make the Bears work for every point they can get, then play those two deep safeties and dare them to run it on you. They've shown that they can't do it, and so now you've got problems. And so it's, to your point, when you're in a situation there at the end of the game where you're in four-minute offense and you're trying to close it out, what are we doing? Why are we so untrusting the running game that we can't get 2 yards on third and two? And part of the answer to that is because it took them every bit of three plays earlier in the game to score a one-yard touchdown, right?
Yeah.
So here's my question to you, because I'm watching the game the other night. Cliff Kingsbury, who's this bright, young,
that's a fine.
Thank you. Offensive-minded guy, third and two, he's throwing the football. Then the next possession, it's third and one, throwing the football. Maybe that's just the way this thing is evolving. And, hey, man, Matt, I say to you, our offensive line's not that good. As Hootie said yesterday, maybe David Montgomery is just okay. He's just a nice player, but he's not Matt Forte or a really impactful back. And Matt went, hey, man, I'm doing what I think gives us the best chance to win. Quit wondering about the run. We're not that good at it.
How'd the third and two play work out?
Well, what if he ran into the line and they didn't get third and two there either? How'd that one work out?
I'm just saying, like, it didn't work. And so, like, if you're going to be one-dimensional to that level, you've got problems. And I think that's what most of Chicago has their anxiety tied around, that this offense doesn't have enough in their arsenal to you know, get there. It's funny because I think Nick Foles' positive energy Sunday night was warranted. And Nick doesn't carry the baggage that Chicago carries of this history of watching really, really good defenses go to waste. And that's what's all tied into this anxiety that's in Chicago and why a lot of people can't enjoy 5-1, because they've seen this movie before where you just waste a really, really strong and promising defense with an offense that can't hold up its end of the bargain. And so this is part of the dynamic here. And when you can't establish both phases of your offense, you've got problems. The other part of this, guys, is you got to remember, everybody kind of talks about some of the Bears' drafting issues and pins those all on Ryan Pace. Well, all we've heard since 2018 is that Matt and Ryan have been in lockstep, and they have had a relationship better than any coach and GM in franchise history. And these are the things that you hear from behind closed doors. Well, they were both on board when they traded up for Anthony Miller. They were both on board when they traded up for David Montgomery. When you trade up for guys, when you trade up for Miller, you say, okay, we can't sit back and wait for DJ Chark or Michael Gallup. When you trade up for Montgomery, you say, oh, we are not willing to sit here and wait for Damian Harris or Alexander Mattison. These are guys we absolutely have to have. And then you get them, and you have no idea what to do with them in your offense, and they become non-factors. And now you've wasted not only the pick you used on them, but the draft capital you needed to trade up, and you still can't figure that out. And so there's a lot of things there that I scratch my head about. If you have identified guys as absolute must-haves for the offense that the coach you hand-selected is running, then why don't they fit in that offense? And those are some of those questions behind closed doors that they've got to get figured out.
All right, along those same lines, two-part question, Dan, because Cap and I have talked about this a ton regarding the running game. I remember when Nagy first got here and the press was asking about the running game, and it's like, you guys are a bunch of fantasy football players. Why are you asking about the running game? And my thought was, well, no, you've got to be able to run it some, even if you have a prolific passing game. We saw this in the Monday night game, both Monday night games, where you saw two terrific running backs be able to run the football well. So what do you think the coaching staff thinks of David Montgomery? And the other question along with that is, how would you grade the offensive line so far this year? Because they're both one and the same, that question.
Yeah, well, so I've heard nothing but praise for David Montgomery, the way he's running the football, what he's being able to take advantage of. Obviously, he came into the league with a reputation as having this contact balance and this ability to get yards after contact. There's not a lot there right now. And now you've lost James Daniels for the year, and you tried Alex Barrs there, and you decided he wasn't the answer. And then you put Rashad Collard in to start Sunday in Carolina, and that didn't go so well. And so now you have big questions up front, and you don't have a single guy across that offensive line where you say, boy, that's a guy that makes the opposing defensive coordinator stay up trying to figure out how are we going to keep this offensive lineman from absolutely destroying us, right? There's other teams that have that. And so the grade on the offensive line is subpar, you know, maybe a C-minus right now in that regard. And Montgomery's going, well, I'm with you, Hoodie. You got to be able to – I'm not one of these meatheads that says, it's, you know, we got to go back to 1984 and we just got to give it to Peyton 36 times and yeah. That's Chicago football. No, it's 2020 in the NFL. It's a different game. There's a lot more that goes into to playing high-level offense. But you also mentioned that Chiefs game Monday night, and the Bills were very, you know, forward after the game and saying, look, we didn't want to see the football flying over the top of our heads and Patrick Mahomes having 5 touchdown passes and 450 yards. And we made a calculated decision to back our safeties up and keep everything in front of us. And what that comes with that is a concession that we are going to give up yards on the run on the ground tonight. We're going to give up the opponent's rushing attack just to try and stay in this game and not let Mahomes blow us out of the building. Well, the Panthers made a similar decision in the way they played Sunday, and the Bears couldn't run it like the Chiefs did. They didn't get 161 yards out of their starting running back. They can't even get to 100 on the ground over the last few weeks. And so it's a problem. It's a major issue going forward, and they've got to figure out how to fix it. They told us Juan Castillo was going to fix it. They told us, you know, some of the changes to their offensive scheme were going to fix it. It's not fixed, and that's where the anxiety comes in. But I certainly want to make sure that we also circle that 5-1 because that's a big deal right now for the cushion they've given themselves.
Dan Wiederer is with us for a couple more moments. Dan, the trade deadline is on election day. The league is not moving it. I know there's a big movement. All the facilities will be closed so that everyone who's an employee can go vote. But that will be the last day that Ryan and Matt can get in a room and go, okay, we got to add something here. Tomorrow is promised to no one. The defense is not 24-year-olds. There's some guys who are 30, 31, 29. Like, it's now, right now, if you're going to win with this defense. So I ask you, do you think they will be reasonably active at trade deadline day, whether there is somebody they could put on the offensive line? I'm not expecting a Hall of Fame left tackle to show up. But also, do they go out and get a playmaker if Atlanta says, we'll move Julio Jones, we're rebuilding, or A.J. Green is available? Pick a guy. Do you think they do something?
No, I don't think the latter. I don't think that there's going to be any big splash, you know, stop the presses, you know, move the election news inside, and Julio Jones is on the front page of the Chicago Tribune on that Wednesday. But look, I think you're going to be exploring things. I think if you're Ryan Pace, you're going to take a look and try and figure out what's available there. You got to remember, the trade deadline has gotten a little more active the last few years in the NFL, but this isn't baseball where you see high-profile names moving at a high volume at the trade deadline. So I wouldn't get too stoked up there. I think the Bears have enough here right now. Obviously, you mentioned how good their defense is. I think they've got enough here offensively if they can iron some things out and figure out who they are to become what we said at the start, that they can be, you know, the 17th-ranked offense and complement that defense, play complementary football, and have the chance to win a playoff game, which we haven't seen around here in a decade. And so that's there. You know, I think you guys, tell me if you agree with this. I think there's two things kind of pulling at Chicago's reaction right now. You have this want to immerse yourself in this 5-1, and we got to enjoy this. You know, 2 months ago, we didn't even know if we were going to play 5 football games, much less get 5 Bears wins out of the season. Mm-hmm. And then there's this look at things of, you know, is this built to sustain success for the long haul? And that gives you some pause and some struggle and says, boy, you know, the way they're currently constructed, they could easily regress next year. They don't have their quarterback answered. They don't have their offensive line answered. Their defense is playing at a high level, but they're going to eventually have to let some guys go and other guys get old. You know, so there's those two things. I'm like, do you live in the now, or do you also look to the future to figure out where this team can take things in their pursuit of a Super Bowl? And I think it's hard for people right now to choose which path to go down.
Hey, man, appreciate all the knowledge. Have a great day and enjoy Monday night. It should be a fun battle on a national stage.
All right, fellas, have a good week.
You too. See ya. Dan Weeder from the Tribune.
Well, the answer to the question is, as you've been mentioning, that tomorrow's not promised because you don't know what next year can bring.
Correct.
So you want to be able to go as all in as possible, increasing your chances to win. You got to believe who's in the room also. But if you could add to that room, whatever it is, offensive, defense, you at least got to try.
And you also have a GM who lives life with no regrets. He will trade up to get whoever he wants.
Well, that's very clear.
No question. Yeah. All right. The Bears signed a very interesting player to the practice squad yesterday. Very interesting.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Isn't she real? Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So the standard protocol in the NFL is to run guys every week into your building, work them out, and then if somebody has an injury, you've got a Rolodex. Well, we worked out Jonathan Hood, and we have a receiver who's injured, so let's go sign that guy. Or cross him off the list, we don't like him. That's why they work out kickers and all sorts of guys. Well, they worked out a guy named Manti Te'o at Hallis Hall, and they signed him yesterday. He will be on the practice squad, which the whole, he's been in the league since 2013, but the rules have all changed because of COVID. You can put more veterans on the practice squad, so you've always got a fresh supply of players if somebody was to test positive. Is Manti Te'o better known, even if he becomes the greatest linebacker in the history of the sport, is he better known for that? Or would he be better known for dating Lene Kukua?
Definitely the catfishing. You know, I didn't know what catfishing was until that story
me
came
either.
Out, until I saw the show, right?
Right.
See, this is why, Danny, that me getting married before the whole swipe left, swipe right thing, I'm so happy that I'm not dating in that era because I'm used to the personal contact to be able to know someone, uh-huh. to get to know somebody in a sporting event, bar, whatever, and meet people in social circles because it's one-on-one. We have a communication.
Correct.
You see the person. Is there a physical attraction? Is there a mental attraction? Do we have things in common? Are we opposite? Does that attract me?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than going to the screen and saying, she's hot, she's not hot, and just going from that standpoint. It's so plastic to me. But for, you know, speaking of plastic, there he is, Manti Te'o, thinking that he's going to be out with someone, and then it's not really real.
Did they have Tinder and all that when you were still single, Danny?
No. And I'm so glad. Like Jonathan, I'm so glad. There are certain things being our age where we missed out on technology and social media.
Yeah, like the math app.
Yes, the math app. Exactly. That's perfect.
Yeah, I didn't have any of this stuff.
Like for our kids, my kids, technology is second nature. They can do it with their eyes closed. They pick it up so fast. So for me, you know, it takes a little bit longer being my age. But I'm so glad that when I was between 22 and 32, things like Tinder, things like phones in your pocket didn't exist because I did a lot of dumb things and I'm glad nobody was there to document it. But when I saw this news, I get the emails from the Bears, official emails, and I saw that they signed Manti Te'o yesterday. Immediately, I went back to that story. It, like you said, Cappy, he could go on to be the next great linebacker for the Chicago Bears. I will always remember him for that moment. It was huge national news. He was on Good Morning America. He was on. They developed an MTV show called Catfish just because of that. Nobody even knew what it was
okay,
at
so,
the time.
So if 25 years from now, we're doing this show from the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and he's up there. And he's got whoever presenting him. And we're all there in our elder state sitting there. Would you look at him and go, oh, my God, that's the greatest linebacker in the history of the freaking sport? Or would you still immediately go, remember when he got catfished?
Yes, catfished. And I guarantee whoever's presenting him into the Hall of Fame will have to make a catfish joke. Like, how many catfish jokes do you think he gets in a week? Like, if he just goes out for dinner, he still hasn't died. He goes to Chicago Cut. He's sitting on the patio with his, and he's engaged now. He's married. He sits on the patio with his beautiful bride. How many people do you think in that circle are either looking at him whispering that's the guy that got catfished or actually making the joke to him? Because
well,
I would guarantee it happens weekly.
I'm a maitre d' at Chicago Cut, and he would say, you know, what's good here? I'd say, the catfish is outstanding.
Wow.
So for those that are not familiar, you should be familiar with the story. This Kakua, was that her name? Lene Kakua.
Lene Kakua.
He said that this woman passed away in four separate interviews. And then, of course, he had that sit-down conversation with Jeremy Schapp, in which he maintained his innocence, and he explained eventually that he lied to his father and others about meeting her in person because he thought that he'd be seen as crazy for having a serious relationship with a woman that he had never met. So weird. Perception, right? Dude, you're a good-looking guy. I mean, at some point,
stud athlete,
you don't need to do this, right? And lying about some girl, like, and seems, and of course, the great story, as you mentioned, Danny, is that he's fine now. He's married to a woman that we saw on social media.
Beautiful young lady.
Sure.
So successful.
Just so weird. That'll be tied to him forever. That guy could be Mike Singletary. He'd still be like, it's a guy that got catfished.
Like if he walked into Chicago Cut and she was meeting him, she's coming from somewhere.
Sure.
Does the maitre d' walk over and go, do you need a menu for your imaginary friend?
That's a shame.
Yeah, David Flom fires that guy immediately. Or that gal immediately. I wonder, have you ever seen the show Catfish on MTV?
I have not.
Have you?
I've seen, yeah.
I mean, you could get addicted to it. Back in the day before I had kids, if I was flipping through channels and it was on MTV, the next thing I know, I'm sitting there for 2 hours while they're playing episode after episode. And I always say to myself, how could these people get catfished? I wonder if anyone listening to us has ever been catfished. That's a crazy thing to have happen, like to fall in love with somebody over the internet that you've never seen.
Jeff, please tell me that hasn't happened to you.
Did they have all that stuff before you got... You've been married a while.
Yeah, no, that was not around when I was...
Okay, I was concerned.
I was
the silence bothered me.
No. I was quiet because when we said surprise practice squad signings, I thought we were going to talk about the Kai Forbath revenge game.
See, right. He's now a Ram.
Sorry.
We didn't let him go.
We didn't go sporty for you. I'm sorry.
I was too confused. I'm sorry.
We didn't go sports that time, Cap. We confused Jeff.
We did.
We confused him. But, I mean, listen. Now, you've seen this, I'm sure, in your Rolodex of stories. Commander McBragg, I know that you have.
Commander McBragg.
I know you have. You've got some story of some friend that thought the real thing was coming and she never came or something happened. Right?
I can't think of one, but I have to rewind my brain.
It's got
to
be something, a friend or acquaintance.
See, I'm older than you guys, so I just missed out on that. I didn't just miss. I missed by many years. And I can't imagine, like, when I was single after my first marriage for 5 years,
like
I was with Mindy, but I can't imagine if I was truly single that I would, like, I would never have wanted to use Tinder or whatever they're called.
But you got a lot of apps, and you're active on social media. I'm sure you'd find a way to try to figure it out, right? So if I swipe right, that means yes, left, no?
Yeah, I would just never put myself out there like that.
It would have to be, I think we're old school.
I'm like you. I've got to have, like, oh, I met you, and I have a connection with you.
Yeah, in person.
Not, oh, that she looks good in that picture. All right, swipe. No.
I would like to create a profile for Cap on Tinder. One of the photos would be the Gordon's Fisherman photo from last week.
Yes.
We could also use the Walk of Shame nude suit as a second.
Dude, that's 40 pounds ago. No, that picture had a lot to do with
this is a fake...
me following Danny's advice.
Okay, so it's a fake profile.
Yeah, but some women like him thick.
Some women just like
look at someone... me, pal.
Some of them just might be turned on by the nude suits.
Some like him thick. Some
such
like
a
to
horrible
be...
picture. Some...
I think we should do this. Let's create a profile for Cap.
No, let's not. Let's say we did.
Say, you know, hey, listen, some women like to be able to be warm in the winter, pal. They like to be on the bear rug.
They like this.
Wow.
What? What?
312-332.
Tell them, Danny.
Three.
Some people like the bear rug.
3776.
How about that, Jeff?
We're going to play shot or no shot.
Still not sporting
it. No, we're going to create Cap's Tinder.
We are not.
Oh,
we're
we
not?
Are.
Likes, dislikes.
But this picture, though, what you got the hoodie on, I need a cap so we can switch places. Since you got a hoodie on, yeah, we can just use that picture.
Assassin's Creed.
Somebody's
over
walking
here
into my wife's office, going, "Mindy, do you have your husband's show on?" No, they're creating a Tinder profile for him.
What?
Mindy would be like, good luck to that lady.
Yeah, exactly. Let me put some tips in there. 312-332-3776. Shot or no shot. Next. Take that. Remember being in your favorite sport clips, waiting for that great MVP haircut experience? Yeah, how about if they made that wait time even shorter? Now with On Deck text alerts, you get a 15-minute heads up when it's time to head in, and another text alert when you're next in line, giving you more ways to save time, making your MVP haircut experience feel more like prime time. Sport clips, it's good to be a guy.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
So, Manti Te'o is a Bear. Not remembered for his linebacking, even though he was a pretty darn good college player. He's had an undistinguished pro career, but he's much better known for being the impetus for the MTV show Catfish.
Oh, man.
Hal in Woodstock says he was catfished. Hey, Hal, what's up, Sparkles?
Captain Hoodie, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
We're good. Thanks for checking in.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Hey, yeah, I'm listening to your program, and you're talking about the catfishing, and it just happened to me.
What happened?
Explain that.
Well, I'm 66. I'm retired. Mm-hmm. I'm going on 45, so to speak.
You know? Right. There you go.
Yep.
And with all this COVID going on, you know, you can't hit the bars, and you can't hit the places where you'd like to meet people. So I do the Zusk once in a while, you know, or like you said, Tinder meets. And I know, funny, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, I get this text message from this girl on LinkedIn, which surprises me because that doesn't seem like a very good site to meet people on. But, you know, and we started talking back and forth on LinkedIn. And I gave her my number to text me, and we started texting. We've been texting back and forth for a week and, you know, getting to know each other, you know. And it was getting kind of pretty serious there for a while.
Yeah.
You know, we were sending pictures back and forth. You know, she was 40, you know, young. And I wanted to find out why she was interested in this 66-year-old guy.
Yeah, easy to.
And she says she liked older men.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're texting back and forth, and we're getting pretty serious, and we're sharing our history and all that other stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, I tried calling her, and her phone wouldn't work, which kind of scared me a little bit. Like, okay, why aren't you receiving your calls? And she says, it was like, well, you know, my phone, I can't receive calls on my phone. And I said, that doesn't sound right. I said, okay. Mm. Well, I said, all right, maybe it's a glitch or something like that with her system. So, then she starts to hit me up and tells me how bad things are going for her, you know, and she says, you know, I don't make much money. I'm a caregiver, you know, for other people. And I said, okay. And then she says, can you lend me $400? I'll pay you back. And I go, I'm retired, man. I live on a fixed income. I said, $400 is kind of rough. So I told her that. And she says, well, can you send me anything? And I said, well, I can't. I said, I'm living on a fixed income. Well, she wasn't too happy about it. And she kept on trying to make excuses for me. Well, you know, I thought we cared about each other, la, la, la.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Disconnected.
Oh, you got disconnected.
Oh, that stinks.
So they were asking, she was fishing for a little dollars.
See that?
That's it.
But the point is, though, is that you got to watch out for people like that. She's looking for the money more so than the relationship.
Right, and she goes for the older guy thinking, oh, he's probably got some money put away.
I wish he didn't hang up because the part where he confronted her was the best.
Oh, he's got to call back and finish that up.
Justin in Austin. What's up, Justin?
Hey, I got catfished by my own girlfriend years ago.
What happened?
How does that happen?
This is pretty long ago. So remember AOL Instant Messenger. This is how long this was ago. So I got a random message on a Saturday while I was at work, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong person. So, but hey, you want to chat? So we chit-chat, kind of exchange information a little bit. But this goes on. I get random instant messages over a few weeks, and, you know, it just didn't seem right. You know, this girl was flirting with me, never met me before. And so at some point I'm like, hey, why don't we meet for, like, a drink? And there's always an excuse why she can't meet me for a drink. And so I thought it was weird. I never really played into it. And then at some point, you know, I played softball with my girlfriend's cousin at the time. And so I'm warming up with him before the game, and he says to me, hey, how's so-and-so? And I'm like the other girl's name. And I said, how do you know so-and-so? He goes, come on, man. He says, my cousin does that from my house. You know, she's trying to play you. She's trying to catch you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called her on the carpet. She denied it. I knew she was lying to me, so I broke it off. But, yeah, I got catfished by my own girlfriend before it was even a thing.
And wow. Are you still with her now, or did you break it off?
No. That was many moons ago.
Yeah. And yeah, that's not a keeper for sure.
That is unbelievable.
Right? Yeah. You let that fish go.
Hey, man, have a good day.
Totally. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, this all stems from Manti Te'o now being part of the Chicago Bears practice squad, famous for being catfished. And for those that don't know the official definition, Danny, to lure someone into a relationship by means of a fictional online persona. Using the sentence, he was being catfished by a cruel prankster. Danny?
I was just thinking what would be cruel is if Manti Te'o's made it to 2020 and people have actually forgotten about the catfish and just looked at him as a football player and now we're bringing it back up.
Well, that's Jeff. Jeff, can you break it down for us?
Kai Forbath will be kicking for the Rams this week. He was just on the practice squad.
The Kai Forbath revenge game.
No, you know what's weird about that last caller, though, that previous caller? Mm. He said he called her out. She kind of did catch him, though. He's chit-chatting on AOL trying to meet a person for drinks who won't meet him for drinks with a girlfriend. Is that...
Ah.
I mean, he's like, I let her go. She was the bad one.
Well, that's a good point.
He acts like he wasn't dabbling.
Like he was kind of engaging.
They're not married. I mean, girlfriend-boyfriend is not...
Husband-wife.
It's not the firm commitment. There's strings there.
Correct.
You know? I mean... It's the old line I used to give. Like, you go to with somebody and it's like, you know, I never get into a relationship thinking it's temporary.
Oh.
You have all the lines. Let's grab Chicago Joe. Hey, Joe, what's up, man?
I got a better one. I got catfished before they even had social media. And what it was, I was in the Navy. And we had this thing called PNET, which was People Network or whatever. It was like you kind of talk over the computer and you see the words, but you don't see who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a sports forum, and I was talking, and this girl pipes in, and she says she's a Raider fan, I'm a Bear fan. This is back like 1994. Well, I had complimentary tickets to the Pro Bowl because I was in Hawaii, and they hooked us military guys up. And I was like, cool, I'll take you to the Pro Bowl with me. And she's like, okay, and we're doing this all over the computer. So I says, well, we got to see what each other looks like. So we decided to take our pictures and send them to each other in the mail. So she sent me a picture of her, and I sent her a picture of me. And she was a freaking supermodel. I mean, she was gorgeous. It was one of these Hawaii girls. I'm like, wow. And my friends are in the base like, oh, she's gorgeous. And I start, and she's telling me how good looking I was and everything. So we decided to meet before we did this. Well, I told my friends where I was going to meet her at, and we were down in Waikiki, and I'm not kidding you. They actually came to the place without me knowing, and they brought a camera. She was four bills, easy. And I'm sitting at the table, and I heard these two dudes rolling, and they were sitting behind me, and they were laughing so hard, and my face was like beet red, and they snapped a picture of it. So about every 5 or 6 years, we'll meet up for like a little reunion, and they bring that picture in the first hour, is them still laughing at me. I mean, I'm not kidding you.
You got. Hey, man, have a great day.
All right, brother, later.
All right. More of your...
He was catfished before he was catfishing.
Not even, that wasn't even an internet yet. More of your catfish stories are coming up next. 312-332-3776. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. Be right back.
Take that.
Take that.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Getting a lot of calls about people getting catfished or people doing the catfishing.
Yeah, and Jeff is also here for your Kai Forbath questions if you care to.
No question.
Revenge game.
Yeah.
That'll
bring him in.
I just couldn't see myself going on Tinder. What are all the ones that are out? There's got to be a billion of them out there now.
Pickers?
No. You're more of a J-date guy to me.
No.
J-date? Hey, what's that?
That's Jewish dating. J-date.
My wife's Greek. Why would I be on J-date?
I was making a joke. Oh. Not everything has to be so literal.
That's true.
Would you ever go on one, Danny, if you were single?
I went on a dating app when I was single.
A J-date?
I don't know if it was J-date. I think I was on J-date also. Here's a horror story. I don't know if this counts as catfishing, but when I was like 30 or 31 years old, I went on one of these dating sites. I'm like, what the hell? Meeting girls at the bar is just not working. So I went on one. This girl's picture, she looked like Cindy Crawford. I'm telling you, she was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. We arranged a date to meet at some bar in Wrigleyville. In walks Rosie O'Donnell. I don't know how she went from Cindy Crawford in the picture to Rosie O'Donnell in person.
I want you right now to Google Rosie O'Donnell and Mike Francesa. Put them side by side. Tell me what you find out. Go ahead. Never see him in the same place at the same time. Okay.
Let's go back to the phones. Andy is out in Addison. Hey, Andy. What's up, Sparky?
Hey, I got a great story for you guys. So I have a group of friends, about six of us. So what I did one time was I made a fake girl profile, and I catfished each one of them. And luckily, five out of six caught on pretty quickly because it was too good to be true. I liked all their same foods, movies, music. The last one, unfortunately, didn't get the flow of everything. He was in love. He was basically, he was texting me on the side. He's like, I think I found the perfect girl. Like, she likes my food. She likes my movies. Like, she wants to meet up. So then what happens is we're like mid-conversation. He loses power at his house. So then he calls me and he goes, dude, she's gonna forget about me. Like, the power went out. Oh, my God. And so my other friends are texting me. They're like, I think you need to call it off here. So then I, like, typed out his full name in the chat, and he's like, how do you know my full name? And then I just ended the chat, deleted the profile, and he never knew until now. He's listening on the radio right now.
Oh, wow. You are a cruel dude, man. Andy, have a good day.
You too.
See ya. He's a cruel dude.
That's not a friend.
Richard Kelly said, guys, to prevent this from ever happening, here's a service to the listeners. Please get a recent picture. I used to tell them, send me a picture with my name on it and today's date. This was 6 years ago when this was happening a lot. Do what you got to do. Works for both sides.
Your picture in today's Sun Times.
Right. That guy couldn't get a lot of dates. If I said to a girl, send me a picture holding my name to prove it's you, she'd be like, all right, I'm not that desperate. See
I'm tapping out, right?
It'd be capped with the Sun Times. Take that!
There you go. Take that. Back to the phones. Yes. John's in Dalton. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to kind of chime in. I actually met my wife on social media. So I think with social media, you can be kind of honest and upfront with people a little more than sometimes people that you meet. You don't have to kind of hold up some kind of ideal or a image of yourself. You can be, you know, essentially who you want to be. And if you want to be honest, especially on the internet, it's easy.
You can always assume whatever, you know, image you want to portray out there. But when you met your wife on Facebook, how much trepidation did you have at the start?
None, really. I was just actually surfing web, we ended up communicating with each other through private message. So I really didn't have any trepidation. It wasn't a situation where I thought it would be something like that. This was really before catfishing it became something really relevant. It
right.
was back in like 2000.
Today, so, you'd be a lot more nervous.
Yeah, I would a little. I mean, but still, it's still a lot of ways, a lot of different things that people do. FaceTime, video chatting. Since those things are a lot more relevant now, it's a lot of ways around that. So getting catfished now is a lot more difficult, even though it still happens.
Yeah, that show's still on.
People being
is that show still on? Hey, man, thanks for the call, John.
It's still on, isn't it, Danny?
Yeah, and the host of Catfish, his name's Liv or Lev or something like that, yeah. is actually on Dancing with the Stars right now as we speak. Not at 8:50 in the morning, but I mean this current episode of Dancing with the Stars. He's still relevant.
It's hard to believe that that's still going on when again, Manti Te'o is the most high profile, right? But people are still being duped by this, Jeff.
I know. I'm waiting for the new incarnation of this, the MTV series Zoom In with Tubin. That's coming in 2021.
Wow.
They're filming it right now.
Very good.
That was a good one, Jeff. 312-332-3776. Are the Bears a top 10 team in the NFL right now?
Ooh.
Top 10.
Ooh.
Well, Keyshawn Johnson, our teammate. Key thinks they are legit. Hey, watch the show on Twitch, powered by Tubin. Miller Lite.
Tubin.
Be right back.
Tubin.
2 minutes.
Tubin. Oh, 2 minutes.
Take that. Put that away.